Last couple of Sunday mornings, we have been looking into the subject of the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit as outlined in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And we've made mention, of course, in the last couple of weeks that every Christian that is, that's indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and that's the only kind of Christian that I know of, may produce these fruits and should produce these fruits in their lives. This is not something that should be confused with gifts of the spirits. You know, someone might have a gift of teaching, someone might have a gift of music or whatever it might be, but every Christian should indeed have these traits. Now, does these traits immediately start in your life as soon as the Holy Spirit enters you when you're saved? Well, the answer is no, not really. These are things that have to be cultivated in our lives. You know, it is like a seed that is planted in our lives, and it must needs be cultivated. It must be watered with the Word of God. It must be fertilized with prayer, that we might prune off the dead parts of our life, so to say, those dead works of the flesh, so that the fruit may continue to bloom and to sprout to its fullest. Now, if you haven't done so, go ahead and turn over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. We'll read our text verses once again here. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." In our first lesson, of course, we looked at the subject of love, and we said all the other graces will flow out of the subject of love. If one has no love, then all the other graces will not be produced either. And in that lesson, one of the things that we did is we looked into, of course, the great love chapter of the Word of God there found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we saw there, of course, that charity or love never faileth. Last Sunday morning, we talked about joy and the things in which a Christian can find joy in. There are so many things that we can find joy in. And I got excited last week talking about the subject of joy. And again, joy is not a state of happiness. Happiness comes and happiness goes, but rather joy is found in a state of godly contentment. So therefore, the Christian can find joy in times of sorrow as well as in times of gladness, because we know indeed that God, the greatness of God, is in control of our lives at all times. He knows all, and He's in control of all, and He's holding us daily indeed by His hand. Now, this morning, we're going to look at the subject of peace, and in a country where people desire to set off bombs made of pressure cookers and send rice in the mail and shoot at kids in schools and movie theaters, you know, Christians need to learn how we can be at peace, because we still can be at peace in this country. We can be at peace even in times of turmoil. You know, peace is an extremely large topic in the Word of God, just as we saw with love, just as we saw with joy. The English word for peace is found 318 times in the King James Version of the Bible. It's found 318 times in the Old Testament alone. It's found in 111 times in the New Testament. Now, many of the times when we find peace in the Word of God, we find that it's speaking of freedom from war, freedom from war. We know back in the 60s and the 70s, in the climax of the Vietnam War, we saw a lot of people talking about peace, you know, give peace a chance and that kind of thing. But the word peace in this text, here in Galatians, is not speaking about the kind of peace away from war, but rather it's speaking of tranquility with one's soul, tranquility with one's soul. You see, one can have peace even in the ravages of war. One can have peace. The Greek word here in this verse for peace, and I'll probably slay this, but it's irene, which means rest, quietness, prosperity. When you look at the Hebrew word for peace over in the Old Testament, you'll find the word shalom. This quiet tranquility of our souls is the peace that we're going to discuss this morning. And today, my utmost desire for everyone here is that everyone might have shalom here this day. Spiritual peace. Spiritual peace is indeed an absolute must in the heart of Christians for their health and for their well-being here upon this earth. Peace flows out of joy. Peace flows out of love. There are, I believe, three major kinds of spiritual peace. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. There is peace with God. There is an inward peace that we have with ourselves. And lastly, there is peace with other people. And there's a reason why we put them in that order, because they all depend on top to bottom in order to be expressed. The first and foremost, of course, is peace with God. Peace with God. You know, man started off, when God created him there in the garden, he started off in peace. But when Adam and Eve fell there in the garden, peace was lost, just along with paradise. They hid themselves from the face of God because why? They were immediately spiritually at war with God. Likewise, if you want to have peace with God this morning, the first thing that you need in your life for true inward peace is for you to walk with God, just as Adam and Eve walked with God there in the cool of the evening. Spiritual peace cannot be produced by our own works. It just can't happen. It is a seed sown by the Spirit that we cultivate through the years, through sanctification. And sanctification is the growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord. So, then to have spiritual peace, one must first know, of course, Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. You see, you cannot walk with God, you cannot talk with God, unless you first know His Son. So the first step in having spiritual peace is to become well acquainted with the Prince of Peace in your life. You must have the Prince of Peace living within you. And as we alluded to just a moment ago, because of man's depravity, he is naturally at war with God. In Adam, all men fail. All men have come short of the glory of God. So then the moment that a child is born, he is at enmity with God. And this enmity with God is the source, truly, of all of man's unrest. You consider that. It is the source of man's unrest. There is no peace where there is unrest. You know, man can seek to find peace with God through going through religious ceremonies. They've done that for years. Man can try to find peace with God by trying to donate money to the TV evangelist or even the church down the street. But folks, those are only things that will appease your flesh. They will not bring you peace with God. God is not happy with that kind of offering. The works of our flesh produce, at best, temporary peace. Peace, though, true peace, can only come after one has had faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone will produce peace. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So then the only way to have peace with God is when He saves our souls, adopts us out of that old family of Satan and into His family, and calls us indeed sons and daughters, sons and daughters. So then we can say there is only one way to peace with God, and that's the power of the cross. Without Christ, man can never know spiritual peace. He cannot know peace with God. He will never know peace with himself. He'll never truly have peace with other people until he first has the peace that passeth understanding living within himself. Now, after we are saved, to continue in that spiritual peace with God, you know what? We must continue in the Word of God. We must continue in His Word and follow after it. You know, we certainly cannot expect to find peace with God and live like the devil. We cannot find peace with God when there is open sin in our lives. We cannot find peace with God when there's secret sin in our lives. We cannot find peace with God when we are running away from what He is leading us to do. We must, indeed, go before God daily. And we must confess our sins. And not only do we confess the sins of things that we have done in our lives, folks, we need to confess the things that we have omitted in our lives, the things that we need to do. Let us never forget our sins of omission and repent and follow after the commandments of God, the will of God, the leading of the Spirit. And that is the only way we'll ever have heavenly peace here in our lives. Psalms 119, verse 165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Great peace have they that love thy law. When you love the Word of God and you follow after His instruction, you can walk with God, you can talk with God, you can have peace with God. And as the Scripture says, nothing shall offend. Nothing shall offend. Now, once a person truly has peace with God, they can have peace with themselves. You must have peace with God first. But in order to have personal peace, you got to have that peace with God. So personal peace, that inward peace, again, still tied to God. The peace within us comes from our daily walk, truly, with the Lord. At times of great closeness with God, we'll see that we're filled with our greatest times of inward spiritual peace. But you know what? The further we get away from the will of God, then we'll find ourselves with less inward peace and find ourselves struggling more within ourselves. Inward peace comes as we love, as we honor, as we obey the Word of God. Again, it must be cultivated by our daily walk, and it's done in several ways. First, the seed of inward peace that the Spirit plants within us, again, must be watered daily. Must be watered daily by the Word of God. How is that done? That is done through coming to services, listening to the Word of God preached, listening to the Word of God taught. It's listening on the radio or the internet or whatever it might be to good spiritual teaching, but it's also through the reading and the studying of Scriptures. I'm afraid that many Christians today rarely pick up their Bibles. You know what? We're told in the Word of God, we look at the armor that we bear. There's only one piece of weaponry that we have in that suit of armor, and that's the sword. And what is the sword? It is the Word of God. We must know the Word of God, truly, if we're going to have peace in this life. If we don't read God's Word and come to services, we cannot expect the fruit to grow within our lives because we're not giving it the proper nutrition that it truly needs. You cannot expect a very good-looking garden if you only water it once or twice a week at best. You're going to have a pretty puny-looking garden. To have the best garden, it needs to be watered some daily. So that it might grow the best that it can. Studying and listening to God's Word are the first steps in growing spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment. You know, we're commanded in God's Word to study His Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth." That's not just written to Timothy, a pastor, folks. That is something that we all need to do in the Word of God. We need to learn to rightly divide the Word of truth. That's called spiritual discernment. And spiritual discernment is truly the key to having inward peace. And again, I'm afraid there's not a lot of spiritual discernment among Christians today because not many of them are truly making godly choices. And they're not doing that because they're ignorant of God's Word. They're just ignorant of God's Word. Listen, the more you know of God's Word, the greater spiritual discernment that you will have. The more spiritual discernment that you have, the greater inward peace that you will have. The more that you study God's Word, the less likely you are to sin. Now, why do I say that? Because you can enjoy sin for a moment when you know exactly what God is telling you not to do. So we need to have we need to read God's Word so that we can have that spiritual discernment and inward peace. Now, the second tool that a Christian has to develop that inward peace is prayer. You know, we're told in Scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, to do what? Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean that we're to walk around with our hands up in the air all the time and and praying, because that would interfere with, well, it would interfere with all of our other religious services. It would interfere with our work and our civil jobs and that kind of thing. But listen, the verse speaks of our attitude. Our attitude ought to be as one that could go to the Lord in prayer at any place and at any time. And you know what? When we have that attitude of being in the Lord, or being able to go to the Lord in prayer at any time, you know what? That'll stop us from going places we shouldn't go. That'll stop us from listening to things that we shouldn't listen to. That'll stop us from seeing things that we ought not see. Prayer brings us inward peace, because when we cast our cares upon Him, we know indeed that we are putting trust in one who is far greater to care for our needs than what we are. He is the one that feeds the sparrow. He is the one that clothes the lilies in the field. Our Father in heaven knows our needs before indeed we ever ask them. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." You know, the most stressful times in a person's life, seemingly, those times of when we're just really at odds with ourselves and we don't have that peace, many times it's because we're making big decisions. Making big decisions. But you know what? Peace can be maintained by praying to God that He might lead us in the right direction. Scripture's told us that He will hear us. He will hear us. In the model prayer, Jesus prayed, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That is to say, God, show us where we should go and show us where we should not go. Listen, if God opens a door, then we're to walk through it in what? Faith and peace, knowing that God has prepared that way before us. You know what? There are times in our lives, certainly, that we stray from doing God's will. And when we do that, that inner peace becomes disrupted. And even then, we need to go to the Lord in prayer, and He is just to hear our cries. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Time of need. He will show us grace in times of need. He will show us mercy in our times of failing. Let us therefore go boldly, and as James says, without wavering, before His throne. Lastly, but not leastly, prayer in the life of a Christian to bring inward peace, we need to have prayers of thanksgiving in our lives as well. Prayers of thanksgiving. And I understand that maybe that's just a prayer and you lump it all together, but I'm calling it out different, because prayers of thanksgiving remind us what God has already done for us in our lives. Prayers of thanksgiving remind us of how dependent we are on God for our needs. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace which passeth understanding in the heart of inward man comes out of thanksgivingness with God. Prayers of thanksgiving, folks, are something that should be done not one time a year, as many do there in the fall of the year. Listen, we need to thank Him often for what He has done for us. And the more we thank Him in our prayers, the more inward peace you will see that it bears in your life. Now, so far we've talked about how studying God's Word can bring inward peace. We talked about how prayer can bring one peace. But there's one more thing that can help bring us inward peace as well, and that's trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord. And trusting the Lord comes, of course, out of reading His Word and knowing His Word. It comes out of praying to God. But listen, when we read in the Word of God that He is just to keep His promises, and we see how He has done that all the way from Genesis to Revelation, then we know indeed that God is faithful in all of His promises and all those things that are yet to come. And I trust that this morning that you are trusting in God's Word and you see the faithfulness of God's Word, so that we can take our petitions boldly before God and know and trust that He indeed hears our prayers and that He indeed is going to answer them. Trusting in God brings inward peace. We're told in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." When we trust in God, instead of leaning on our own understanding, it will bring us inward peace. When we trust in our flesh, it will always bring strife. It always will bring strife, every time. Why? Because the flesh cannot please God. It cannot. So trusting in God cannot come from the flesh and blood, but truly only by the Father which is in heaven. When we learn to trust in Him instead of ourselves, we can have inward peace. Now, we started off this message. I told you there was three kinds of spiritual peace that we were going to talk about. Peace with God, inward peace, that is peace within ourselves. And then the last type of peace is peace with other people. Peace with other people. And that's what I want to talk about here for just the next few minutes. And I do understand we have a business meeting to attend to, so I'm not going to talk, hopefully, that much longer today. But as we look at this peace, this spiritual peace with other people, this is truly the practice of peace. The practice of peace within our lives. You know, you cannot and you will not be able to have peace with other people if you don't have peace with God and you don't have peace with yourself. You just can't. You can't. And you know what? As you look at the subject of peace, peace doesn't necessarily mean that you're pleasing everyone all the time. That's not what peace is. You can't please everybody all the time. There are some people in life that you'll come across that'll never be pleased no matter what you do for them. Right? You've all met people like that. But the practice of peace is how you deal with other people. Now, the first thing we must realize is that God commands us. He commands us to live peaceably upon this earth. We are not to be a people who, you know, seek to join gangs and go around beating up people and doing that kind of thing. We are not to be people who seeks harm to anybody for any reason. You know, Christians should never be the one who are looking for a fight or trying to render evil for evil. Evil for evil. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 and 18 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Now, folks, that means when somebody wrongs us and says something that's mean to us or does something that we consider mean, it means that we should not seek to retaliate. Seek to retaliate and in saying something back or even starting a fight, a confrontation, that kind of thing. We're to live peaceably with man within the laws of this land. The Christian, the true Christian, must learn to turn the cheek and to turn it often. Now, how can a Christian who is being wronged live peaceably with those who are offending? If that Christian has peace with God, if that Christian is following after the commandments of God and has peace with himself, who's studying God's Word, praying, and trusting, then that person can trust in these verses of Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21. It says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know what? God is in control. God is ultimately in control. He is in control of the situation. He's in control when people have wrongfully used us, when they've despitefully used us. And you know what? Today, you know, our phrase might be is, you know, he's got our back. God has got our back. He's watching over us. Now, how can we actively pursue peace with others? Well, the first thing I think that we need to do to actively pursue peace with other people is we need to build them up and not try to tear them down. We must be an encouragement to people as much as we can be, especially those within our church, our loved ones, those that we work with. Romans chapter 14, verse 19 says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." Edifying one another, what is that? That's the building up of one another. We need to build up one another. And again, especially those that we call our brothers and sisters in Christ. And especially those who are weaker members. That's truly what the Bible teaches us, isn't it? Building up others brings peace with our fellow man. What is the opposite of that? Well, that's tearing one down, right? Tearing one down. The Bible clearly states that one of the things that the Lord hates is one that sows discord among the brethren, right? So we need to avoid that. There are going to be times when we certainly disagree. You know, we're going to have a business meeting. You know, sometimes things are said in business meetings and there's disagreement on things. There are going to be times that we disagree with our parents. There's going to be times that we disagree with our spouses. You know what? Disagreeing is okay as long as it's done in a matter of peace and as long as it's done in a matter of love towards everyone that's involved. You know, sometimes we have to say, you know, we're just going to agree to disagree. We're going to move on past it. You know, we have to do that many times in our lives. Now, the last way that we want to discuss this morning to have peace with other people falls back exactly on what we started with here as we started talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and that is with love. In Matthew 22 and verse 37, it says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." All falls back to love. If you desire to be treated well by others, what do we need to do? We need to treat others as we would treat ourselves, right? When one comes to you seeking forgiveness, that's exactly what we're to do. We are to forgive, just as we have been forgiven. When one is coming to us who needs compassion, then that's exactly what we are to do. We're to show compassion upon them just as we would seek compassion from another. Now, we're going to go ahead and end there at this point in time. We want to go ahead and say a prayer and dismiss, and then we'll